Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Ray.
I'm Alex Reed.
Okay, well, welcome back to another episode of...
No Sleep Lips.
Guys, and welcome back to another episode of Mostly Lit.
I'm trying different things with the radio voice, you know. I'm trying to either be deeper in my chest.
Oh, remember that voice. Hashtag that voice.
So I'm trying to like bring it back, get back to my roots.
I remember that. I had girls up in my DMs be like, yo, this Alex fella and that
why is he reading? What is it? I remember that I used to read.
Oh,
them,
you used
them
to
stupid poems. Oh, we've come a long way.
Wow. Throwback. Anyways, how are you?
I'm good.
Yeah?
I'm good. You know, just getting on, getting by, getting through.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the that's the energy that I've been bringing to 2019. Just trying to get through it.
Before I ask how your week has been.
Yes.
Let's introduce the epic, the phenomenal, the incredible.
The marvelous.
The queen, the iconic, the out of this world phenomenal. That is Candice. Cardi. William. Sorry, that intro was amazing. I'm sorry.
I can't live up to any of this stuff.
What do you mean?
Yes, you can.
How are you? I'm good, thank you. This is a real highlight to be here, so really excited. Amazing. It's a really nice end to my week. That's been very busy.
Oh, that's good.
So yeah, I just had to battle lots of people with placards, and it was worth it. Mm. I will join the march afterwards.
Yeah.
No placard.
No. Oh, well, thank you so much.
Everyone's fighting on the streets of London, people.
For a good cause.
Nobody knows. Yeah, nobody knows what they're doing.
Nobody knows what's going on.
But
the government don't know what they're doing.
We're fighting. Everybody's fighting.
But yeah, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you. We're really excited to have you.
We're
obviously going to get into speaking about your book, Queenie, very soon. But before that, how's everybody's week been?
My week has been so good. I've had a lovely week this week. Mm-hmm. Just, you know when you just have a normal week?
A regular week.
And it's been so fun. I've been going out with my friends, you know, just been enjoying myself. I had a massage on Thursday. And I feel like my joints are just...
Was it one of them deep tissue ones?
Oh, yeah. It was great. Okay. And literally the woman was like, you know, just tell me when it's too tense. I'm like, girl, you go harder. I'm not feeling anything.
You know what?
It's great.
I have one of those ones where they walk on your back.
Oh,
yeah. So I remember speaking about it on the show once, but the way they pull and twist you, I thought, I didn't know my body could do this. Any of this.
So my week has been good. Although, I've been questioning this thing, right? I don't know what it is. Like... Since I turned 25, my hormones have been, you know, obviously it's a bit TMI, but I just think this is a family orientated podcast. We're a family here. So tell me why. All I think about is having babies, guys.
It's natural. It's fine.
I'm like, where did this come from? Mm-mm. Oh, every time I see a kid, or sometimes I could just be sitting down minding my own business. And then I'll be like, I could do with a baby right now.
I could do with a baby right now.
I would just be like, I want a child. Mm-mm. I want to mother something.
Mm-hmm. But I think it is literally biological, right? It's your body being like, come on. Come on. You've been having periods for a long time. Let's get it done.
Come on, Joe.
It's crazy. I'm literally like, this. I don't know if this is like normal, because I'm like, yo, I want a baby. And then I'll be I'm fine. So yeah, I don't obviously want a baby now, but it's just something that this week I've been really thinking of, like consciously. Like, oh wow, I wouldn't mind.
I think I was watching This Is Us. I watched This Is Us this morning, and as you do, and Kevin was being asked whether he wants a child, and I was sitting there thinking, am I going to get to a stage where I'm going to be like, am I going to want a child? Like, is it? I don't know. Like, it's sort of sitting there thinking, you know, at this moment in time, everything's cool. Then it might get to a point where it might just be like one shifting of the moon in like a year, and I'll be like, oh my God, like, I need to go out and get a child. Yeah. It's crazy.
To go out and get a child.
Go and get a child. Go out and have a child. Anyway, Hannies, how's your week been?
It's been good, thank you. It has been busy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And up and down, I just, you know, me and sleep, it's not, we're not friends at the moment, it's been all right, you know, it's busy, you know, lead up to publication, so people just like have you doing all this stuff. And I've had some like fun shoots and done some nice interviews, so it's cool, but it's just like, you know, trying to remember that I'm Candice and I'm not just Queenie's author, and that's a thing, that's a real thing.
Really?
Yeah. Oh,
that's exciting.
I think that's, it's going to be a crazy, it's going to be a crazy whirlwind year. Let's just put it that way. It's going to be good.
Ominous.
It's going to be good. It's going to be good. And it's going to be good because I feel like a lot of authors who like who've just published like, their stuff, before it comes at the publication date, they're like, okay, well, they're doing all of this. And then publication date comes and it's like, it's just this, like book tours, speaking, all the reviews everywhere and all of that stuff kind of being put out. So it's going to be like, it's going to be good. I think it'll be great.
Hopefully you and Sleep will be together again.
We'll be out here chilling.
2020.
Let's get into the show, guys. What are you reading? What are you reading this week?
I'm reading Bad Feminist by Roxane Gay. I'm actually listening to it on Audible. And I'm enjoying it so far. I went to South Bank to see her, and obviously she was phenomenal, but I was expecting her to narrate it, but she doesn't narrate it. So I was like, oh, bummer. But the person who narrates it, I think, is the same person that narrates Everybody Should Be a Feminist or Feminist Is for Feminism Is for Everyone by Lorde on Audible, I think.
By Lorde? Bell Hooks.
Sorry, I was
Feminism for Everyone.
Getting my feminists confused. But yeah. So the same person that narrates that one on Audible narrates the Bad Feminist. I was like, yeah, okay, it's cool. I really enjoy it so far. What I love is the idea that she talks about how, especially right at the beginning when I first started listening to it, the idea that I am like, a lot of the times we herald up public figures as these embodiments of feminism. And should they fail or say maybe one thing that isn't right or doesn't sit well with us, then they are like completely taken down from this pedestal. And she talks about the idea of posing and the idea of getting somebody who is appropriate for the movement or whatever, and then them needing to pose in a certain way. And I thought that was quite interesting, actually, just with regards to how we look at social media influencers.
Okay.
And how we, like, just going on Twitter and seeing stuff. And I, when I heard that, I was like, oh, this is really interesting, because I've seen a lot of people who maybe need to go for a lot of growth, myself included. And the fact that maybe that idea of feminism isn't something that we should be putting on to people. But at the same time, it's like, how do you ensure that the voice is not led astray in a way? But yeah, so that's what I'm reading right now.
Okay, cool. What are you reading?
I'm reading two books at the moment, or is it three? No, I'm reading two. Put one down. One is Frying Plantain by Zalika Reid-Benter. So it's a Canadian... Are you looking at me because I said plantain? That's where you can carry on looking. She is a Canadian author, and her publisher sent it to me after I met her when I was in Albuquerque doing this American Booksellers Association conference. And it's really exciting. And it's also... I don't know anything about Jamaican Caribbean... Sorry, can I do that again? Okay, it's fine. I don't know anything about Jamaican Canadian culture, so it's like really exciting, really interesting. And also Patsy by Nicole Dennis Benn, because I loved Here Comes the Sun, and this is her second, and I haven't got into it enough yet, but I know that one of the characters from her first book turns up in the second, and I love that sort of thing so much. And I think she's a beautiful writer, so that's me.
Cool.
How about you, Alex?
I'm reading 21 Lessons for the 21st Century by Yuval Noah Harari. This book is blowing my mind. it's actually blowing my mind. So he's basically written about, you know, all the different stuff that we're probably going to end up experiencing in this next century. I'm on a part where he's talking about AI and about how it can develop. I never really had much knowledge about what artificial intelligence could actually do. I only had it based upon, like, I'm just thinking robots like, you know what I mean, taking over the world, essentially. But
taking our jobs, taking our women.
And all this stuff. And all this stuff. And it was like, the thing is, he kind of makes it...
They should be taking over our jobs.
They take everything. But that's the thing. This is what I'm saying. And he basically was like, you know what, like, This is what AI is, and this is what AI could do. Yeah. So we're talking about, he's kind of relating it back to, like, Trump and Brexit and stuff. And then people, like you said, Trump's building a wall, but to keep people out from, you know, taking their jobs. Brexit happened because people don't want foreigners coming in and taking their jobs. Mm-hmm. But he says AI is going to take the jobs
anyway.
But it would also free up people to do other jobs and more technical and maybe other technical things. You're going to need engineers to create these people. You're going to need... you know, all the other stuff. But when it comes, and like he said something about AIs becoming doctors, the front-facing doctors. And that's when I started getting a bit shaken, because I'm like, so if I'm going to talk to an artificial intelligent robot and
my back aches,
and they just kind of like, you know, they treat you and stuff. But he's saying that's going to be, that'll free up other doctors to do the research and do other things. Yeah. So he's like, you know, there's ways to kind of look at all of this stuff and how, you know, censorship is changing, how, you know, the rich is changing. So it's going to be moving from like the old money of that infrastructure that we have now to the new money of like cyber kind of things, like creating gadgets and all of that stuff and gizmos and all this. And I just found it really, really interesting the way that he's kind of like explaining it in these various different parts and breaking it down. So I've got it on audiobook because I think that it's not him that's narrating it, but the narrator is really good. And he's just, you know, it's filling me in with the story, filling me in with the tea about what's going on with this. Because I was like, I had no idea. Like, all the stuff about blockchain, I had no idea what that was.
How did this book get into your periphery, please?
How did it get into my periphery?
You're giving me these non-fiction books that I'm just like, what's it about?
I have no idea how I got it, but because I have one of the proofs at home, and I saw it and I was like, let me get it on audiobook, because you know, you all be writing these long books, like Sapiens, Homo Deus and all that stuff, and I'm like, let me listen to this.
Every time I look at Sapiens, I'm like,
I want to read it so badly, but I literally have got quite a few audible credits left, so I was like, let me just get all of his books so I could just read through. But yeah, nice. that's what we're reading.
All right. So
if anybody's got any books or recommendations, let us know. Drop us an email, drop us a message. You guys have been really active on the Twitter account, actually. I asked yesterday, what is everybody reading? And all of you were throwing off some like bare suggestions. Some of you are reading 6 books this month. So I'm like, well, that's good.
I'm not reading more.
Sweet.
Well, thank you for that, Alex.
Oh my God, somebody actually sent like a list and actually gave the ratings that she gave them out of 5.
Oh, that's deep.
You know, moving mad. It's fine.
All right. So, as y'all know, we have the phenomenal Candice with us today. I was going to call her Queenie. And I was like, no. But thank you so much for coming.
Yeah.
To talk about your book. So, my first question is the inspo.
God, there's, do you know, when I went to sit down and write it, there was like, I had no plan. I had no like understanding of like what I was going to write, who should be, what it'd be about. And then I guess it's just like years of like hearing stuff, like living stuff, like working in all these middle-class environments, going to university with all these middle-class people.
Yeah.
And then basically creating a character who went through all of this stuff in like a very extreme version of like what we all go through. Mm. And like basically kind of saying like, if she can do all this extreme stuff and get through it, then so can you.
Yeah.
And it's because like people ask me like who I wrote it for and like who I had in mind when I was writing it. Mm. And I was like, well, probably me when I was like 16 and was like, I'm about to go into maybe 18. And I was like, about to go into all of this stuff, into this world that was like not going to accept me for who I was.
Yeah.
This like, you know, because like I say world because like when I go to Jamaica, people are like, oh, you're English, like immediately.
Yeah.
And when I'm here, people are just like, you're not from here.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And so it's that thing where she's kind of like, yeah, there's like still not a space that I can call like home that I feel like fully settled.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I was kind of, it's like almost like a handbook for all of this stuff. And also just like growing up and not having this for myself, that was really important because it like really shaped
who I am and like my value.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's why I wrote this. I'm hoping that people can read it and be like, yeah, I'm not alone.
Yeah. When did you start writing it?
I started writing it in, I think, October 2017.
Okay.
So yeah, she's been a long time coming.
Yeah.
And I basically blitzed it because I read really quickly and I write really quickly. Mm. And I like trip over myself when I'm writing because I'm just kind of like, ah, I get
I need
it out.
That. Somebody.
Everyone's Ow. Different. Everyone's Ow. Different. And so, yeah, I think I finished it. And it didn't take me very, very, very long to finish the first draft because I was just like,
really?
Like all of this stuff, like all of these stories and all of these like stories about like dating that I'd heard and like anecdotes and like all of like it was just all in my head. And I think for me, it was also just
the
like
Cupid parts were hilarious.
I'll get into all of that.
Yeah, it felt like kind of just like a release of just like all of these things that, you know, like we pick up and we carry with us. Yeah.
Yeah. Explain to listeners just about who Queenie is and like what she represents.
Oh, Queenie is, she's 25, mm-hmm. And she's living in London, and she is working at a newspaper, and everyone around her is middle class. And I guess like lots of that in itself is just like her, the beginning is her not really understanding the environment that she's in and how it might be affecting her. So like microaggressions.
Yeah.
And she has this partner, he's white middle class, mm-hmm. and he basically represents the integration and the life that she thinks that she should have as this woman who's kind of like, oh, I'm just, you know, like I've got my like family culture and they don't really understand me, and I've got this white culture that it feels like I should fit in because like I am here, and I guess like that seems right that we would all just like conform to that. And when her relationship breaks down, she's like, okay, so that structure's gone that I thought I was going to have. And that's actually unraveled a lot of things from my past that I've been kind of like trying to push away. Mm. And she makes a lot of questionable decisions as she kind of should be taking time out to find herself. But actually, yeah, she really doesn't. She finds some other stuff. Yeah.
I think one of the person that I really didn't like was Tom.
Gemini Man.
Correct.
Gemini Man. Loki.
I cackled when I saw that line.
I know, like, you texted me. You were like,
I was like, hold on, like, yeah. And we're still talking about this. Like,
but yeah, mainly because I was like, Queenie, girl. Because like there were parts where I was like, oh, he's really lovely, especially when they met in the park and like the mug story. I thought it was real cute. I'm corny like that.
I
was like, oh, this is lovely. But and then when they had that scene, I think that big bust up that they had, and she walked out and like, and he didn't like stick up for her or say anything, even when like, I think there was one Christmas when the uncle was like, oh, you know, I know you're wearing a white dress, but you can be on the darker t-shirt side because you've got more dark. I was so disgusted. It was Tom's dad that was consoling her in a way, like, oh yeah, you can be my team. And I was like, Tom, where are you? Honestly, I got so pissed off.
That's fine. I mean, like, he was written to be, he's just fine. Like, he's just there. He's just kind of like, and it's this way that like in relationships and dating, we can project all of our stuff onto someone who is just like, you know, they wouldn't just, really, they don't, you know, they're not anything. They don't they don't match up to you, but you're just like, kind of like, this is what it is. And this, you know, in relationships, you just get like, your head just goes. And so much of it was about exploring the idea that this girl was so much more than him. Also, all of the men have like, they're either unnamed or they have like 3-letter names because they're just so basic.
Okay.
So I literally, I thought of like of like the most basic men's names that I could.
In my head, I was like, I was like Ted, Tom,
Addy.
Ted, yeah. Yeah, like no more
Guy,
than like,
or
was
it Guy?
Yeah. So like none of them had any more than like 3 letters because I was like, they're not important.
Yeah. Feel you.
Oh, it's good. I'm like, I just
my name has 9 letters. It's all fine. I'm bringing my.
So and then you have these like amazing girls. You have like Queenie. You have Jessica. You have like Cassandra. You have all of these like, and they're just kind
Cheske.
Of like. Jessica, she's the best one.
Yeah, she's like my
Jessica. Yeah.
Okay, because I was reading, I was like, no.
She tells you many times.
Okay.
How you say
like,
her name?
I was like, but everything, you know, like for me, it's like we're trying to find. Sometimes my memory is bad, so when I do go back, I'm just like, is this how you? Is this how you say the name again? Anyway, I just keep going through, but it's cool. Where did that name come from?
One of my best friends, it's her Uganda name.
Oh, okay.
And she allowed me to use it for the book. And her cousins, whenever they message me, they're just like, oh, I see it. Yeah. I'm like, yes, don't worry, I've got you.
Oh, I love that, actually. I never really thought about that. Like, because it basically means it's about her and her interactions with I guess, the opposite sex, but they don't necessarily need to be it.
They can all be like swapped out. They're not important.
Yeah.
It's only about her navigating this. That's all it's about. Yeah. This is about. It's like her traveling through this.
And where did you get that angst from? Because I do feel like you kind of captured the 25-year-old angst. Because I felt this way, I think, last year when it was like, because there was a point where she was like almost losing everything. She couldn't really have grips and she wasn't gripping anything. And I was like, this is the 25-year-old angst, because it's crazy. But I'm like, how did you get that? You just did that so perfectly.
Yeah. Well, it's that quarter life crisis thing, right? Yeah. I think it's a really true thing. And I think it's amazing that it's not discussed more.
Yeah.
Like a midlife crisis is like part of the vocabulary. Yeah. But a quarter life crisis, when it's like, you're still not really fully an adult, because what really do you have to call your own? Especially in this time. Yeah. Like you can't buy a house. Like a car, you have to like rent it. Like that's fine.
Your career is like, entry level.
Of course.
Yeah. You
and like your earning is like, you know, but, and that's all, you know, that is what it is. But it's just like you still aspire to things that you think, you know, that our parents' generation had.
Yeah.
And they were just like, yeah, but by the time I was your age, and it was just like, yeah, but bro, it was different.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So I think, yeah, I mean, I've had it. I've done it.
Yeah.
Quarter life crisis.
Quarter life crisis. It's a very real thing. And I remember at the time just being like, why is no one talking about this with me? Like, no, why is no one explaining what I'm going through?
You're going through all this stuff, especially if you're at home, especially if you are living at home and stuff, and you're trying to explain like, oh, but your parents just see that you're working, they see that you're doing X, Y, Z, and they're like, you should be, you're good, you've been to uni, you did all that stuff, and then, you know, you're in a job that doesn't pay that much, you know, that you can't really see much progression, because you can see the glass ceiling, because it's very clear nowadays, and all of that stuff, and it's difficult, and I saw that in Queenie, and I saw that, especially being a journalist and looking at the newsroom and stuff, and just kind of like relating all the time, even her having to pitch to Gina and all that stuff. And
Say, like, you should write about the Me Too movement dresses that they wore. I was like,
and then like, and all this stuff, like the Black Lives Matter movement, it's like, oh, but you need to make it more palatable and all this stuff. And you're just like, I just want to write my story. Like, just let me go out and be the journalist sort of stuff. And again, it was this whole thing about not trusting people in those, like, especially Black people in those kind of media agencies as well, in order to kind of give them the story for the rest of the people.
So what would you like in terms of giving Queenie a manual, like, of, and this is how you get over that 25-year-old angst? Because I see Queenie in quite a few people that I know of, or I would say between May and like July last year of my 25-year angst. And it's like, what would you tell in terms of just to someone who can be like, okay, you don't have to go through all this shit, you can just follow this step guide? Do you have one, or is it just a matter of you just have to go get through it?
I think you've got to go through all of these things. And I do think that you come out stronger. Like, I genuinely believe that. Because also it just means that you have experience in things. And I don't think that you can just take anything as read because someone's told you how to do things. I think you need to go through them and like build the tools yourself, because that's, everyone's experience is different. Everyone is different.
Yeah.
And how I process something is going to be different to how you process it.
Yeah.
You process it or you process it. And so being told something, like, it's where, I mean, basically the thing is like, you will get through it is like the main takeaway.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, however extreme it is, however like dark it is, you will get through it because you kind of have to.
Yeah.
And you will come out understanding that it's not going to happen again and understanding why. So I don't think there's any like cheat codes to hard parts of life. Yeah. No way.
Yeah.
One thing I do find about really crazy about this generation is the whole WhatsApp group situation.
Hey.
And like, I was reading it and I was like,
she was quite wild though, because she put in people. I think there were two people like, they didn't know each other. Well, when that happened, I was like, what are you doing? It's like, you didn't ask for permission.
There's so much passive aggression going on. Like, Darcy, like,
beg you tell your friends. Yeah, I was like, friend, just kidding.
Like, oh, there was one bit I read, and it was like, if you don't understand something, go to Urban Dictionary. And she's like, okay, thank you. And I'm like, you don't understand the passive aggression that's happening here. And she came back and was like, look, I found the definition. And I was like, wow,
WhatsApp groups.
I found it very interesting that you kind of like, you integrated that into the story though, because it does break up, you know, you integrated the emails, you integrated the WhatsApp groups, and
it brings it
all back to kind of like what we are experiencing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we do see, you know, everyday life, and then it's always breaken up by a notification.
For sure.
Or a flash.
I think so. And I think it's like, that is, like, as much as it's like narrative, like, our lives are narrative, and like, there are these like punctuations of like people being like, drop everything because this is happening, and like, look at this tweet, and like, look at this picture. I was just like, what does that mean? And so yeah, it basically was like a reflection of like actually how we process things throughout the day and like throughout our lives. But yeah, so I think that was it. And it's like a very like, my friend was reading it and she's like, it's a very multimedia experience. And I was like, yeah, but that's kind of that's important. I was like, all right, babe. But that's important because like that is how we live our lives. And like group chats, like if I didn't have them, I would be like, you know, you kind of, you need to get like, you know, ask the audience, you know? Yeah. You need to get a lot of voices.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like it.
I found Queenie quite like sad a lot of the time. Mm. You know what I mean? Like it was like when she messaged in the group, it's like, hey, and then she's like, hey, what's up? And then like, oh, I'm just feeling sad and stuff. And then like a lot of her friends, they're kind of, they seem stronger than her.
Mm.
That makes any sense. And it kind of like, it was a bit, yeah, it was a bit like, oh, Queenie. Every time I read something about her, I'm like, oh, Queenie.
But I don't know, because I felt like some of her friends were strong, but then they had their weak moments. Like even Cassandra, when she's talking about how, like, oh, this is like, remember when at that party, her,
yeah.
And then it's like, oh, you know, this is the first connection I've had, and she almost was out of character even because she was so like flustered, and I thought she was one of the friends that had it together. And when she got really upset because this guy couldn't come, it just felt like, oh, actually there are like deeper things there, like maybe this whole you not having a connection with somebody is something that needs to be dealt with.
But there was the all right, I want to kind of ask about the like, okay, so when you came to sit down and write these sex scenes, I want to know. Were you thinking, how am I going to make this woman's life like what? Where did it? Where
That's
did it come
I
from?
Actually screamed.
Because I read what happened with Ted. Yeah.
So who it was, Guy, Ted. That just blew me away.
And it was,
I was like,
yeah, it's just like, but where did they come? Like, how did you?
That is how sex can be.
How did you feel writing about like? Going through those things.
Was fine. Like, yeah. I was like, this is a reality of how it can be. Like me, my friends, like the things that you have, the things that you're just kind of like, you endure them and you're just like, oh, that wasn't, healthy. Oh, okay. You're fine. Then you talk about it with your friends and you're like, yeah, that wasn't great. And also like, obviously that, you know, like there is consent there, but it's still like, it's murky waters, but also it's just like, you know, when you're like a willing participant, you're kind of like, okay, well I'm in it now. And that is what it is. And while those scenes are like not sex I have had, they are like just like tiny bit more extreme versions of like of me and like my friends. And it is sex with white men exclusively.
Because I was like, there was with Guy, that was the one that was rather disturbing to me, because it was like, I totally see how this can happen. And you know, you're a participant, but then you probably don't want to say no in the midst of it. You don't want to cause discomfort to yourself and to the other person, because Queenie was very self,
giving. She gave a lot.
Yeah, but then she was also like timid in a way. So she kind of was like, even afterwards, she would go closer to Ted just to get that intimacy. And then he'd be like, don't touch me. What are you doing?
Yeah.
And that to me was like,
Well, it's value, right? It's like where you see your own value. And if you're told that you're not desirable, and that when a black man says to you, when a white man says to you, you're good looking for a black girl, or I've never had sex with a black girl before, how exciting. Your value, if you're feeling like you don't have anything, then you'll be like, I'll just go with it. Because you're kind of grateful. Yeah.
And it's also like the volatility of online dating as well, because you never know who you're going to meet.
It's true.
You never know who's going to turn up at that restaurant door.
It's true.
Let alone, you know, your house.
But it's not even, like, do you know what? You say restaurants, but like,
or wherever.
I went onto Hinge because my friends were like, Hinge is fun. Hinge is cool. Like, do that. And
I've been told Hinge is good.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Oh. But like, so like, the white guys that I speak to, I'm going to change my settings now to only black men, because the white guys will just be like, hey, what are you doing tonight? Do you want to come around? Why would I want to come around to your house? Yeah. What for? For what? I don't know you. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not even seeing my friends tonight. Why would I see you tonight?
Okay, but, like, house.
But do you know what I mean? So that is the approach.
Yeah.
And I think had I been younger and had I been more vulnerable, maybe I'd be like, okay, because it's a story to tell. And you know, in like, I guess I also,
you're reckless in your early 20s.
Also just thinking about like a conversational currency, like so much of it is like us being like, oh, listen to what he said, listen to what she said, you know, like that is so much of it. And you know, just like establishing importance, because like you've got a lot going on, like you're desired, like you're like sleeping with people, like guess what this guy did, you know. So
it's always crazy, because it's like the interactions that you tend to have online and they never usually match up ever in person. And that's the thing. Like, so you're basically being sold something false or in, like, just already in the beginning phases, because all this chat, all this talk and this stuff, and then when you see them, it's like, oh, they're either really timid or they
are short.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Or they're not kind of like giving you, they're not bringing you that kind of, that vim that they,
also
they're bringing
remember,
you. Also remember,
it's also, a lot of it is our projection as well. That's true. And you were like imagining this person. I remember I was like talking to someone once and his pictures were one way, and then I met him and he just looked completely different. And I was annoyed. Angles, but also it was just like, you took these clearly at university and like years later. But it was also like, if I had seen you, because I was imagining him as this person in the pictures, if I'd seen you as you are now, we still would have been talking, but now just now it's weird. Like, now I just feel deep. Because this was, the pictures
false
were 10 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, man. Online dating. I want to realm in there, but I'm a bit nervous.
Yeah.
I've actually never done it.
Never.
Really?
Never. My friend told me to make Tinder one time. I made it. And then she was matching
mess.
For me, right? And then
Tinder's a mess.
And then like she left the next day, she's like, oh, have you got anything? I was like, what? She goes, yeah, go on it. And I went on it and like people matched me and I was like, oh no, like, what am I supposed to do
no,
now?
Yeah.
I
was that's like, enough. That's
yeah,
enough games.
I was like, no. And then I just delete the app.
Yeah.
And now and then I was like, oh, like, yeah, go do Bumble. And I'm like, what's Bumble? It's when you have to go.
I heard
and,
about Bumble.
Like, you know, the girl, you know,
has
is
to the
initiate one.
The conversation.
And then my friend sent me an intro, like what she always sends to the guys. I'm like, this is too much. I can't do this.
But without sounding really old, my sister was 20 and she was like, well, the way you meet people now is just like Instagram. And like, there were like rules. Like, so it's like, you don't follow, you like two of their pictures. And then if they like one of his work and they follow you, then you start talking. Oh. So like,
what kind of
that is... No, I'm telling you, I've seen it happen. And my friend who's like my age, she's doing it. And I'm like, what? And then whenever I'm like, hey babe, so this guy has like three of my pictures. What does it mean? And she'll be like, all right, okay, cool. So what you need to do is, and then I'll, but it's like crazy. So like that is like a different level of like, but I guess like when you do that, it's less like less pressure than like Tinder, because it's like you're not here for that specifically. You just like happened to see you and I thought you were nice.
Wow, all these I used to get DMs on Twitter a lot.
Yeah.
And then I just
Twitter was a hot mess.
Hot mess.
I had to clean that up very quickly. But it's crazy. But I was gonna ask you that, you know, like the way that Queenie's been marketed has been about like they're saying, oh, the Bridget Jones,
Americana comes together
kind of thing. Yeah. How do you feel about that? Do you feel, is that something that you kind of like it being compared to those two books, or is it, you know, where do you sit with it?
It's an interesting thing. I think so. Having worked in publishing myself, I know that when you, when an editor wants their book to. They go to like the sales team and they're like, hi, I just want numbers so I can like, you know, say like this book is compared to X, Y, and Z.
Which sold
X, Y, and Z. And so like that's like good comparisons. It's like, because also as like one of the first Black British like commercial authors, like that was like a necessary comparison, because it was just like, we don't have anything else to compare it to. And so Bridget Jones being like one thing, and then like Americana is like Chimamanda's Nigerian, and that was like first published in America. So it's like these are comparisons that like technically made sense. And then like I guess like when all that information goes out, like magazines are like, oh, okay, because they're just looking at like the press release and they're like, okay, this is that. So it's comparison that I think was necessary at the beginning, but the thing that I'm hearing as people go on, and they're just like, well, it's just not that. Like it's just like a very different thing. And like Bridget Jones could never be this political just because she's Bridget Jones. She's like a white middle class journalist with like parents who've got a house in the country. Yeah. And Americana is again like a completely different thing. Mm. So it's like a it's like the black Bridget. It also just like when people are just like give it like a black prefix, it's a bit like, but I think people are just realizing for themselves what it is, which is helpful.
Yeah.
And I think like there's enough info about it now that people can kind of come to it. Mm. It's like a, just like a book in itself.
I feel like it establishes itself as, you know, it's Queenie.
Yeah. And it's very black British as well.
Very black British.
But by the mere fact that the lead is a black woman.
Mm.
Strolling through Brixton.
Correct.
As busy as Brixton is.
As different as Brixton is now.
Yeah. Because you do touch on gentrification a lot. Like the pricing.
Well, it just pisses me off. Yeah. Like every single day. It's just hard. I live in Herne Hill now, which is like next to Brixton.
Yeah.
And Herne Hill was different when I was growing up. Brixton was different when I was growing up. Mm. And it's like almost unrecognisable. And people ask me about it a lot. And they're like, what can we do to change it? And it's just like, do you know how big that question is?
Mm.
Like, what? That question doesn't make sense. Like, it doesn't, you can't. How can you change gentrification? You can't do that.
Yeah. The thing is, it was like recently in Northwest London, did you hear about what happened in Stonebridge Park with regards to, there's a huge community centre called Stonebridge Park Community Centre, and like they were really, the community were battling with the council to get to, for the land, to say that they want to redevelop the land to break it, make it for the community, redevelop it, like make it a sports centre, make conference rooms, etc. But people wanted to buy the land and make it into whatever they wanted to make it into, whether it would be flats or all these offices. So they had this fight. They kind of, they've won at the High Court to kind of like get permission to kind of like take control of it and stuff. And now they're kind of pegging it. The Guardian pegged it as, oh, they want to build the Black Canary Wharf there. I mean, when they start to peg, that to attribute it to all these different things, it kind of makes me feel a bit. But they want to make it into a hub for Northwest London because it's a large Black community that lives there. So
it'll probably end up being far too expensive.
Probably, but I mean, there may be something where it's subsidised by the council and all these other stuff. But at the same time, when we're looking at this, is when we're looking at gentrification and we're looking about at how we kind of, you know, protect the communities that we live in, it has to kind of come from the community and develop it for the community.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like there needs to be those kind of recreational rooms for that, the elderly and for the people that live, that, you know, that aren't necessarily working in the day. There needs to be those spaces for young people because they don't have it and all of that stuff. And when you're looking around at places that are being gentrified, all of this stuff's being stripped away.
Of course. Well, look at Elephant and Castle.
Elephant and Castle.
That was when they said they were going to take the shopping centre down. I was like, have got to be joking. That's unbelievable. It's heart-wrenching.
Yeah, when I was covering that at the South London Press and like in Tooting as well and all of that, and Wandsworth and all those places, it was like all of the local shopkeepers, they were just, they were devastated.
They actually almost coerce you to leave. So in Wilson Soho, where I live, where I grew up, the block of flats where I lived like what, to a year ago, my aunt's still there with the kids. They're taking it all down, but they're slowly coercing different people in the different types of flats to move out. Oh, we'll give you a home some like in Chingford or somewhere else, because we want to make exactly, because they want to rent these apartments. I've been, for the last 2 years, been like, don't accept anything.
Yeah,
you're gonna get that flat in that new house, because they have to. If they don't accept, they'll have to put you up in these places, but which they don't want to do, because that's a place that somebody else that can come in and pay rent fully.
Yeah,
and they don't want to lose out on the money. Yeah. And at the crux of it, that's what it is. And even if you do end up living in these flats, things around you will be changing. You won't have that corner shop anymore. Yeah. You'll have,
the community will be gone.
Exactly. Yeah. Everything that you have like known will be stripped away. So then you inevitably you will end up leaving.
Yeah, and it raises a bigger question about like where is, what you said earlier about where is home.
None of this is an accident. None of this is an accident.
Where is it?
It is to displace.
Yeah.
It is only to displace.
And it's crazy because then like you talk about Queenie's angst and the many Black men and women who go through this displacement within themselves and then they have to see it outside in their homes. So it's like, bitch, can I get a break?
Yeah.
Like, I'm already battling shit inside of me with my identities, my family, my friends, my love life.
Yeah.
And now I can't even want to go. I have to go to my grandmother's house to bar because I don't like the flat that I'm in.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah. And the way that man tried to sell her the flat, I was like, what kind of... Anyway.
You know me, we do you a favour.
What is all this about? So,
One question I did want to ask you, though, is actually about the, you know, you're working in industry and you've created something. How has that kind of worked? How has that kind of, like, helped you, you know? Because when we're working within it and then creating something, and then has it changed the way that people perceive you in work or in the play? I know you don't have to say anything too fully, but what has it been like, that kind of transition?
It's been an interesting one. I never talk about Queenie in my job.
Okay.
I just walk in and I just go and do what I need to do, and I don't. And just, if they're like, let's celebrate it, I'm like, I don't want to do that. Like, I'm here to see my. It's like,
yeah,
they're two separate things. But being in there, in terms of just like understanding the process of how it works, is quite helpful. You understand like what pitching means. You understand like what lead times are. You understand like why they're doing X and why they're doing this targeting. So it's really helpful in some ways. And they're kind of like, my publishers were like, let's bring you in so like you can talk about like how best to reach like the people that you want to reach, basically. So it's helpful in that sense.
Yeah, and I see that it's been getting a lot of publication in the US as well.
Yeah, that, like, that is unexpected.
The Oprah, I was on the like, O-magazine, yeah, I was like,
that is unexpected and that's crazy. And like Shonda Rhimes being when I was listening to this, I'm like, so what?
Yeah.
Because when I sent it to my agent and she read it and we spoke about it, she was like, just to let you know, it probably won't sell outside of London or like outside of England because it's such a London story. And then when the US came in, she was like, oh shit, I'm sorry about that. But then similarly, she was like, France don't want to publish it because they said that they've got their own black stories.
What?
That's true.
Italy said they don't want to publish it because there's no racism in Italy.
Okay, that's a mess. Lies.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah. It's so weird because the last racist encounter I had was with an Italian.
Right? Surprise.
I mean, wow.
So for it to be published in the US and like there to be like actual critical acclaim coming from the US is like fucking, sorry, can I swear? Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
But it's everyone's asked this like for the past.
Are we that PG? Did we come across as PG?
No, like swear if you want.
It's a family show, But you know what I mean? Like it's mad. Like it is, I didn't expect it to be sold there, let alone.
But I think it's brilliant that it is, because I feel like we know so much about American culture.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm just like, yes, good. Know all of these London streets and London roads. Like, I love it.
People are getting more and more curious about it just because obviously with that whole thing of Samuel L. Jackson about the Black British Act. And obviously you've got Daniel Kaluuya, you've got all of these people now in the States. People are getting a bit like, oh,
curious.
Like, so you are black and British. What's happening over there? What's going on with the music over there? What's going on with the...
Weirdly, the Amazon chart, like Amazon have... my book is African-American literature. And I'm like, but yeah, no, I think there is definitely a curiosity about it, and also understanding that like we're not just like we are over here. I remember an author telling me that, I mean, her book is set in Jamaica, and she was like, my publishers asked if there was like where I can find the Jamaican community in the UK, and it was just like, no one understand, like people don't understand what I'm like, what's going on over here.
You're gonna find the community, like,
right, just like go to the place, like go find them on like social, like it was really weird. So yeah, I think there is definitely like a lack of understanding, and maybe and hoping now people are like, oh, okay.
But so knowing all of this, like knowing the journey of like writing to publication, what would be like your most precious number of advice points?
Can we reword that question?
No.
What is that?
Wow. I said precious, and then I said no, I meant precious.
What advice do you have?
No, but obviously it's my question.
Okay, well, go ask the question.
Tell us your most precious advice.
I understood it. It was great.
Alex is laughing.
I would say if you want to write, you just keep it moving. Yeah. Like that is the thing that I remember. There were so many times I was just like looking at a blank page and I was like, oh, I've got nothing left. But then you just like, I would like then go back to like the middle of the last thing I was writing. Maybe just keep going off from that, reword it, and then just like go again. You know, I think like keep it moving, because the only thing, you just have to write it, right? Yeah. Like that's the thing. And I remember just being like, when I have to do like edits, I'm always like, only you can do them, so just like get it done.
Yeah.
And like if you want it and you love it, you will find the time and you will find the energy, because you just have to. And there are so many things in this life that you just kind of have to do, else they won't get done. And that's on you, because like, you know, this was about representation. This was only what this was about. I didn't want, like, it wasn't about money, because like, you never know what you're going to get when you sell a book. And also because like there were no other books like it, I didn't expect anything really. And so knowing that I wanted to do that, or I wanted to represent people, that really spurred me on, and we need more of that. And so yeah, I would just say like keep it moving, keep going, and also like show people your work and ask about ask about, like, ask them what they think about it. And when you're getting advice, you have to take criticism. Mm. You have to. Like, I sent the first draft of Queenie to 5 people and I was like, I don't care what you think is good. I just need you to tell me what doesn't make sense. Mm. Like, what in the timeline doesn't work? Like, what character, like, probably wouldn't say that? Like, that's, you know, so I think you just have to, like, it's not even a thick skin. It's just understanding that collaboration just makes you better, especially when it's such a solitary project.
Yeah.
Collaboration is, like, completely key.
Yeah. Mm. Hope we get to see it on screen because it's very filmy.
Yeah.
Like, I was reading it, the back and forth. Yeah. I was like,
that could definitely, I'd love to see that option.
This is a film.
It has been optioned, but I can't say anything yet.
Off air.
Alex, you didn't see it, but Alex and I just like,
we're like it was amazing.
All right, cool.
Let's move on. Won't get too excited.
Okay, so obviously this month we're looking at female leads. We're looking at, you know, all the, you know, prominent, amazing black women that are doing amazing stuff in film and stuff. And, you know, this week,
do you want to take it away,
my friend?
We watched If Bill Streak Could Talk. And,
oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I don't even know what to say.
Yeah.
So because you guys have been like telling me, like, just watch it. And I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. And now I'm so offended that it did not get nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah. Mm.
Yep. Because I'm like, this is it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But amazing for Regina King, though.
Mm. Oh, she was exceptional.
Amazing. But even Kiki Layne did exceptionally well in the film as the main. But, like, what did you guys think about the film, though, in itself? Like, have you read If Bill Street Could Talk? How could you make the comparison?
I haven't read it, but I have seen it twice now. I've seen the film twice now. And the first time I watched it, I was with a friend, and at the end, I just threw myself into my lap and burst into tears, just because it's so affecting. Because, you know, you've been watching, I don't even know how to say it. It's like, none of this, it's so realistic in that, like, all of this stuff, all of this injustice, it doesn't have a clean ending. It doesn't have a nice ending. And that is heartbreaking, because you just understand that just, like, whatever is happening in that film is perpetuated in so many ways in real life. Mm. And yes, it's American, but we feel these things and we understand these things. Yeah. And actually, because it's about love, and that love is universal, so universal.
Yeah.
And it's so uniquely painful to see that, and to see that not work out in the way it should, just because of the color of skin, and that is it, you know, like, that is hard. That's always a hard thing to swallow. And so I thought I love Barry Jenkins. Moonlight absolutely destroyed me. Like, I cannot watch it anymore. Moonlight. I couldn't watch it again. I will start crying
all the time.
So if you quote it too long, I will start crying. Seriously,
that bit kills me.
I love Barry Jenkins' work. I knew that he was kind of going to be the only person to adapt someone. Like, I've read some of Baldwin's other works, but I hadn't read Bill Street. But just in terms of, like, Baldwin being legendary, you know, only he could do that. And I just thought he did the most beautiful job.
Beautifully artistic. Amazingly shot.
What struck me was the fact that the injustice was there, but a lot of the times when I watch these films, I'm very much aware of the injustice, and even though I saw it so here so plainly, everybody around these two characters were fighting for their love, as in they were like, he has to get out, these two have to make it, not because of anything, but because of love, and the fact that they are so in love, and it just blew me away. And I love Regina King, but just the beginning, actually, when obviously she's telling the family.
See, that was an amazing, like, I liked the whole family.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think it was one of the strongest.
Literally.
Like, just this full cast of just full black people.
And,
like,
they are so
two different families.
They love each other.
Like, contrast and whatnot. Yeah.
And Kiki's, what's her name, who played her older sister?
So her older sister is Treona Paris.
Yeah.
Who plays Ernestine.
Phenomenal.
Rivers. Yeah.
Phenomenal.
She's in Chirac, wasn't she? She was amazing in that.
Yeah.
Like, I was literally like, yes, I love you. Mm-hmm. And just these two, when, you know, they got together and it's like, oh, I'm pregnant, you know.
Yeah.
It was just
because sitting there, I was in a bit of a like, I was anxious.
Yeah, same. I was like,
is it gonna be get out my house? Yeah. But they were like, you know, she sat down with her husband. She was like,
when she got the drink and she's like, we're toasting to new life. I was literally crying. I was like, oh my god, it's 15 minutes in. What is this?
The patience, the love, the care, like just, you know, okay, you got pregnant earlier than anybody expected. Yeah. But okay. We are family.
Yeah.
We're gonna make this a thing.
It was like, so loving. There was a time, I think there was when Kiki was, her character was asleep and she was having nightmares and she was like struggling and her mother walks in, Regina King, and she was said something like, I don't know what you're going through, but I understand suffering.
Mm.
And I know that suffering, it will end. Mm. You just need to believe in it and you need to do this for that baby because we all support you, but only you can do this part.
Mm.
And she said something like, I would give anything to be able to help you with this, but I can't. I was destroyed. Yeah. I was destroyed. I was like, oh, like, people can love.
I was like, what you kind of raised to me, though, is like, okay, so these characters are written.
Mm.
These characters are written. But yet, what we've been shown has been written, obviously been written by other people, like they've been shown to us about, like, this is the norm, this is what it's supposed to be like, this is what it looks like. But if these people have been written by people that look like us and kind of feel like us and love like us,
we are totally capable.
And we're seeing it now, and I'm like, and I'm kind of like so proud that we can, you know, the younger people can sit down and watch and grow up and watch things like, you know,
a loving black family
and watching like, you know, Beale Street Couture, reading things like Queenie, seeing all these things here, and then they know what. They kind of can see what love is. They can see what life is. They can kind of have a different perspective.
They can see themselves.
Mm.
It's interesting because thinking about like the trauma story that we're so used to, the slave story, the slave narrative. It's like, oh, okay, we get it. They're so important and they are part of our history, but it's time to just, you know, not have us being that on the screens. And so as much as this was like a trauma story in some way, because, you know, it is about like this tearing apart of two people, I thought it was amazing that Barry Jenkins didn't actually put any physical violence or trauma in. And that was really amazing to me because I was on the edge of my seat waiting for the police to come and like break down the door. And I was like, I can't bear this again. But there wasn't that. It was just, you know, it was just like the trauma was, it was just a trauma of a love that was separated and not physical.
Because even when obviously there's a particular tense scene that happens in the film. And when that came up, that's when I was like, that was when it grounded me. It was like, okay, so this stuff really happened. Obviously you can be caught up in the, oh my god, like they're in this part of history and until you see
like how it actually
this is the life that some people have to give, and then it's like, all right, I'm back down to earth again, deserving of all the accolades.
Absolutely.
Should have got
everything.
Literally.
Yeah, man. But pick up Regina King though, man. Like, what was the last thing I saw her in?
When she went to see that woman. Yeah. When she went to see her and then she started breaking down and I was like, bitch.
But that scene, that whole Puerto Rico sequence of what she was doing there was just like, she didn't need to go.
She didn't.
You know, like that's not her child, but it was, you know, in a way it was her child and that is her grandchild.
Yeah.
And when she's there and I guess like her reckoning with herself and being like, I need to do this. But the scene where she's trying to convince a woman to come back is...
Yeah.
Heartbreaking, and you can watch her doing all the wrong things. You're like, why are you showing this woman who is like, she's had all this trauma, why are you showing her picture of a loving couple? She's less likely to want to help. Yeah. You know, you're just like, you know, it's just love. It's her just being like, can you not see? Like, why you need to? Yeah.
And she when she breaks down, leaves, and she breaks down because she's just like, oh no, I should have maybe done it this way or that way. And when she was putting the wig on and taking it off, it was just like, whew.
Yeah.
Child.
Beautiful film.
Yeah, incredible. Amazing film.
Last time I saw her in was This Christmas.
We watch that together?
Yeah, I think we did. I mean, no, that was Almost Christmas.
Oh, okay.
But This Christmas, when she beat the guy with the belt and he's slipping and sliding on the olive oil.
She's phenomenal.
She's a versatile actor.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, like the Boondocks, like, come on.
I know.
And like, you know, she's been in so many things as well.
Poetic Justice, amazing.
Poetic Justice, yeah.
Incredible.
Oh,
Higher Learning.
Amazing in Higher Learning.
I love that film.
God, that film. Another trauma film. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, otherwise...
It was an epic film. Congratulations for her supporting actress role of the... I think she won the Academy, didn't she? Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think I think she even got the BAFTA.
I don't know. I'd have to double check that.
Well, she should have gotten the BAFTA.
Yeah. What have you guys been watching? this week? What kind of things have you been looking at? Watching Netflix, whether it be soon to be BritBox, ITV.
BritBox.
I've finished Night Flyers.
Okay.
That show that you told me to watch. Yeah. Amazing. Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Obviously, anything George R. R. Martin does, I think is great. Just psychologically, it's a really, really, and I think it's probably one of the best first episode of any show I've ever watched. It's the first episode had me screaming.
Yeah. Anything to do George R. R. Martin, I have to watch the first episode 3 times
before I get into it. You really have to concentrate, yeah. So yeah, I'm like I've just finished that, and I'm really excited for Game of Thrones to come back. So I'm kind of just rewatching some stuff.
Okay,
yeah,
cool. What are you? What are you watching?
I've seen Us twice in the last 8 days.
What did you say yesterday? It was good.
It's just something else. I took my brother and sister
because
I wanted to traumatise them a bit. And when we left...
I need to watch it.
I'd already seen it. And when we left, their faces were just like...
Mate.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah.
Oh, the plot twist at the back then.
Right? And so it's that. And I've also been watching Shrill, which is like it's on Hulu. And... my god, Lolly Alifopi's in it, and she's really amazing. And I have also been watching Broad City. I watch a lot again, like it's a lot of American stuff.
Yeah. How about you, Alex? What have you been watching?
So there's 2 things I was watching in the past few weeks. Did you watch Cheat on ITV?
No, I didn't.
No, yeah. you were talking about this.
Yeah. I think, like, I mean, I'm really trying to like understand like the British landscape for drama, etc. But like, I'm looking at the way ITV and BBC are doing their dramas now, and it's actually like pretty spot good. On, pretty good. But Cheat is very good.
Okay,
what's it about?
So it's about a lecturer and one of her students. Nothing untoward between the two.
Nothing untoward.
But. You know, she has a few concerns about her with regards to like plagiarism and such that's going on with her studies, but it kind of opens up a bigger can of worms with regards to like into her family and all this stuff, because it opens up and they're talking to each other through prison glass. And it's about trying to figure out who's on what side at the beginning and stuff. So it's an amazing story, like, because we were watching it at my house and we're just like, oh my god, have you watched Cheat today? Like, and everyone's trying to like, yeah, I'd say watch it, it's really good. Very British, you know. It's got the whole, it's kind of, the university is supposed to be set in something like, whether it be Durham or Oxbridge.
Is there any black people in it?
Yes.
Okay.
There are black people in
it. That's why I ask about everything that I'm going to watch.
Yeah, there are black people in it.
Okay.
They're not the leads, but they are in it. Mm-hmm. They're kind of instrumental to the story. There we go.
I finally finished Sex Education.
Oh.
Finally finished it.
That's really good.
Yeah, I liked the last episode.
It's really good.
I think I think last episode was great, but I think maybe the writers didn't realise how much we would just care more about Eric than anything else.
Yeah.
And so like him not being, like him,
that was
being, he was kind of loads of people's central character, right?
And this little white boy, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I was like, so you can't wank. Fantastic. All right. Let's move on. You know?
What's Eric up to? How's he
doing? I wanted to understand his family and his relationship with his father more. Yeah. That whole
There'll be a second season for that. I think that's really interesting.
I was like, yes.
I think the writers will have to have seen all the discourse and we need to get him front and centre.
Yeah. And they've seen the popularity, that's why they would have commissioned
him. He's a handsome guy.
Oh, yeah. I met him, and in real life, he walks like an upright panther.
Oh,
that's the only way I can describe it. He's so sexy. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
His smile.
He walks in, you're like, hey, like, he's so amazing. Yeah. I rate him so highly. He's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Oh, I just started. I started The Good Fight. I'm kind of
The
spin-off from The Good Wife.
From The Good Wife.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I hear it's good. I love The Good Wife.
If you love The Good Wife, The Good Fight, you're going to be...
The Good Wife is the best legal drama, better than Suits and everything, in terms of accuracy.
Yeah. The Good Fight is really good. So Diane goes to... she ends up going to the African-American law firm.
Mm-hmm.
And that just kind of like opens up a whole different story.
Wow.
And it's all talks about Trump, talks about Me Too, talks about all these other topics. Amazing.
Okay.
Amazing. Watch it. So season 3 starting.
Mm-hmm.
So you got time to catch up with season 1 and 2.
Thank
if you
very
want to start
much.
It.
Fabulous.
Oh, cool.
All right.
But what is next for you? What are you doing? Where
are you going?
Where are you going to be?
What are we going to be expecting?
So I've already written the first draft of book two.
Ooh.
And it's
the
not,
exclusive.
It's not a sequel, but it's kind of like, if you like the group chats of Queenie, it's like, imagine those. But
is it Queenie's story still?
No. But in real life, and it's a lot messier. Because in Queenie, you get to see everything through one person's head,
yeah,
and how they're feeling. And you might get a glimpse of, you know, like, yeah, she's not really touching on what other people are feeling, but you can kind of read it as the reader because of the stuff they say. But this is like three girls, one not with us, but four, and understanding the lives of young women.
All the men have three letter names, yeah?
There are very few men in this one.
Two so letter names.
Yeah.
Ed.
JJ. Initials,
JJ.
Yeah.
JJ, JT.
JT. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much for having me.
Where can everyone find you?
Everyone can find me on, if they wish to, on Twitter and Instagram at Candice_C_W, I think. Yeah.
Fabulous. Yeah. Guys, cool. Make sure you get Queenie.
Yeah, get Queenie.
Drops.
Get Queenie.
Like, you don't want to miss it.
You don't.
You don't want to not read it. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Yeah,
make sure you rate, review, subscribe. We're on Acast, we're on Spotify, iTunes, anywhere you find podcasts. People, just
make sure
Google.
You send us your culture questions as well. Whether it's at on Twitter at Mostly Lit, Instagram at Mostly Lit Pod, or email us at mostlylit@gmail.com.
Where can they find you?
Pray for a feek on every piece of. Yeah. Internet. Yeah. On Beyonce's internet.
Yep. Alex Reads. Just, I'm everywhere.
Yeah.
So
apparently there's an underscore next to his like name somewhere.
So on Twitter, right, like somebody has Alex Reads and they just won't give it up.
Oh.
So I have to do that.
Them.
I have to do it. Someone has Alex Reads _ and someone has Alex Reads. So I've got Alex Reads _ on Twitter.
Oh.
Yeah. So I need to kind of like,
I wanted just Rafer, right? Just my first name because Beyonce. and someone has that. They made this account in 2011.
Yeah.
They have 2 followers. Oh, they haven't tweeted. Yeah. It's an actual egg or whatever it is that they have. Yeah. I've been reporting this account for the past 2 years.
The guy who has Alex
I've been
Reed
reporting
just,
this account.
I swear he's some guy from Texas. And he's like, he's just like 44 followers. I'm just like, okay, come on now.
Please.
Like, let's do a
and
trade.
And you know, this what, like, person hasn't tweeted. They're not. It's done. Like, they're not going to come on. So I'm, I don't know, guys. Pray for me.
Yeah, we'll find out. Report them. All right, guys. Report find them. Us, message us, chat to us. We'll catch you next week.
Bye. Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.